Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. This is Inside Sports.
Tashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
It's a really good ball. It's Shabalala.
Inside the Updates.
Zia Kolisi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Assalamu alaikum. Just gone at 10 minutes past 8. A very good evening to you. Listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and chat to past and present sports stars. I'm your host, Feroz Sheikh, and my tech tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking football tonight. My guest is the former Santos midfielder, Desmond Crowe. But before I chat to Desmond, let's catch up with the latest news coming through from today. Four matches in the Premier League today. Brighton and Sheffield United drew 1-1. Leicester were 2-0 winners against Tottenham Hotspur. Good win for Leicester there. Manchester United currently taking on Leeds United. 81 minutes gone. United leading 6-2 in that match. And West Brom then play Aston Villa in the late game at a 9:15. Two matches in the DSTV Premiership today. AmaZulu beating Chippa United 3-1. Good win there for Benny McCarthy. Swallows beating Black Leopards 2-1 as well. And New Zealand beat Pakistan in the second T20 International in Hamilton. They're winning that one by 9 wickets, chasing 164 to win. They reached their target with 4 balls to spare. Time now to say a very good evening to Desmond Crowe. Thanks for joining me tonight on The Voice of the Cape.
Thank you for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
Now, of course, you can join the conversation as well. 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp 0829-913-913 for any comments. Desmond, you obviously had a brilliant career first for Santos and then went on to play for Milano and Batsford. But we'll get to all that later on. Firstly, tell us where it all began for Desmond Crowe.
Hey, it started very early. Fortunate for me is my parents were always involved in sports. They always encourage us to be outdoors and see that I'm one of 5 brothers. It was always any type of sports at that particular time. So I started very early as a 10-year-old with Everton United at Cape Flats in Heidelberg. Everton, household name on the Western Province. I played there while my brothers, basically they played for Hotspurs. So when we moved to Strandfontein, I joined Strandfontein, but I always had guys to follow. Nigel, Duncan, Barry, and my youngest brother, Hilton.
So how come you played for Everton and they played for Hotspurs?
It's so strange. I think it's friends. It was close to home. So I just used to just walk to the field and things like that. And Everton was one of those star-studded teams. Oh. I was very young, but the top team had fantastic players. And that always attract youngsters to come play for them.
Now, I believe you were a left-sided midfielder, number 6. Were you always a midfielder or did you start off in another position before playing in the midfield?
Strangely, I was always a midfielder. I think because left footers are always rare. I was on the left wing, or sometimes I will be a number 10 behind the number 9. So, yeah, that's basically where I started my career.
And, of course, I have to ask this, but I have to ask this. Being the younger brother of Duncan Crowe, was there any pressure on you, you know, coming up through the ranks? Was there that pressure? Did you feel that pressure?
Never. I was always better than Duncan. No, Duncan was a different level. Like they say today, that's levels, that's levels. Duncan was different level. It's just a pity about apart that Duncan never had the opportunities that the current generation of players are getting. I still believe if I look at the strikers of the day, Duncan was far, far, far better than them. And I'm not biased when I say that. A blind person can see his stats. If you go down his stats, you will see it compares to the best in the world.
Yeah, phenomenal, phenomenal. Obviously, I thought that your first team was Santos in the FPL, but off air you telling me you played for Glendine. 10 games, was it? As a very youngster, by the way, 16 years old. How did that come about?
Yeah, Glendine was basically at the tail end of Mr. Petty Dolly's, may his soul rest in peace, his era. And yes, the following year, I think he sold the club to Sofik Mauser. So I played the last 10 games for Glendin. We even played in a derby against the Light Bodies also, Light Body Santos that time. And yeah, I played, we played something like, we had to complete 10 games in a space of 2 weeks. There was 1 week where we spent the whole week in Maritzburg playing 3-4 games in that 7-day period and things like that.
But how did you cope as a youngster, 16-year-old, coming to the pro ranks and playing so many games in just a few days? How was it on you personally?
Fortunately for me, because I come from a sporting family, I'm also I was an athlete also. Duncan was an 800 meter champion record holder. I was 1,500 and 3,000 meter record holder also. So the fitness, that comes naturally. We were always outside playing. We were never that. Remember that time wasn't TV and things like that. So the kids of the day will never ever realize how we were playing any sport that it is.
Yeah. And what was it like at that time? We will speak about rivalries later on, but at that time as a 16-year-old playing against the likes of Santos, who were, you know, one of the top teams in the FPL at the time.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It was actually a terrible incident where one of the Santos players, I think it was the last few games, I think they were in the running for the league, and we were just there and there about mid-table because we didn't want to get relegated. We all knew the club was going to be sold. And I played in the one derby, I can remember. And there was a terrible incident. A fight broke out and I was involved. And I, hey, terrible. But the strange part is the person that we actually fought with, we actually became very good friends. But that was the rivalry that was always there between either Santos or Glendin. Later on, it became Santos and Batswood and so forth. Before that, it was Cape Town Spurs in Glenville. That time I was just a small boy.
You were a supporter back then.
Yes, just a very small boy. Yeah.
So was it an automatic choice to go to Santos once Glendin folded, or was it difficult? Or?
No, actually I went actually back to amateur. I actually went back to amateur and I think it was a very good thing. I got not my confidence back, but that time amateur football was very tough. That time there was a league called the Toyota Super League. So that was basically the top teams in each and every district. Now we call it LFAs. So I went out to go play for Parkers. They were the top team in that time in Mitchell's Plain. So that competition actually prepared me properly for when Santos scouted me a few years later.
So what year did you sign for Santos?
I signed for Santos in 1988.
In 88.
In 1988.
And obviously a few seasons before Unity came along. Let's talk about the FPL era with Santos. Share some of your highlights with us with Santos.
I think if you have till 10, 11 o'clock,
yeah,
we can go on. No, but everything, it was, everything started in 1988, like I said earlier. We won the treble, right? We won the treble. I was fortunate enough to be voted player of the season that year. I was second highest goal scorer to Duncan. So it was a phenomenal year for me. As a youngster, it was very easy to fit in. Not easy to play, but easy to fit in, because that time Santos had fantastic players. We had Trevor Daniels in goals. We had Kasim Muhammad, we had Rasad, David. We had Kevin Valentine, Stephen Hendricks. The list goes on. Donny Ronnie, Rodney Reyners, the list goes, Rodney Tate, the list goes on. And with those experienced players, it was easy for me to fit in. And there wasn't one day that I could feel I'm better than the next, because they will humble you very quickly. Yes.
Well, let's talk about that team. I had it down here, but you mentioned some of those names. Let's just pick on that. There's a picture that I've seen on Facebook and some of the comments that that was the best Santos team. But obviously, you know, it's debatable, but I'm going to name some of those guys, and obviously you can tell me what it was like playing with these guys from the picture that I've seen. And I just wrote down, obviously Duncan was there, Idris Burton, yourself, Rodney Reyners, Kasim Mohammed, Andre Broncos, Kamal Said, you know, and the list goes on. What was it like playing with those guys?
No, it was fantastic. Like I said, I started as a youngster with the Kevin Valentines and the Stephen Hendricks, and of course Duncan always being my role model. It was a fantastic experience. They make you feel at home. Away games was always difficult because it was something new for me. But having them around me, made me feel safe, made me feel comfortable, and that created the confidence that I had playing away and things like that. I can remember one game we played. This is a team I admire also, Chelsea. They're from Bosman in Johannesburg, and they had they also had a fantastic team. One of my idols before I joined Santos was Noel Goodall. Mm. They had Moses Ibis as a striker, Chris Fortein, Chris's brother. I can't remember his name now precisely. And yes, they had a fantastic team. And there was this one game where it's almost like they targeted me. They were throwing me with stones and things like that as I was playing. But then the big boys, the Stephen Hendricks, the Kevin Valentines, the Cussing Mums, they dunking them, they protected me.
Oh,
and they helped me through that 90 minutes and everything.
We're going to take a quick ad break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Desmond Crowe.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. It's just gone 23 minutes past 8. We're chatting to Desmond Crowe tonight. Desmond, we got some comments coming through here on WhatsApp. Salams. Duncan was a classy player, but Desmond was explosive. I know him. I know I'm 56 years old and saw this guy. Hey, I tell you, all those players he played with were all best players. The time he came to Santos, the PSL teams, he commanded the midfield alone. Good player. And this one, okay, that's another one there. Okay, that was the one. Good comments there. Obviously, the guys remember you, Desmond. While we're on that, I've got some comments here on Facebook as well when I posted that. Andre Broncos, Madhu Singh, obviously from Durban. I don't know if you know him, former Derby United player.
Derby
United. A great player. Farouk Badi, number 6, Desmond Crowe. Elvis Govender. Played for Natal Cricket as well. Yeah, awesome. Bobby Solomons. But pity to have a brother like Duncan, always got to walk in his shadows. Bubi was also, you know, a lot of guys looked up to him. He was a role model to many. Eh?
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. He was one of my coaches also.
Yeah. Ian Southgate, very good footballer. And Kevin Valentine, lots of love. Deshi, Moy Luop. So some good comments coming through there. Obviously, what you guys did on the field, lots of people remember that.
Yeah, that's the best part. Yeah, that's the best part. We will never, ever be able to bring it back. Eh?
Absolutely. Now, you're saying the year you were named FPL Player of the Year, or you finished second highest goal scorer behind Duncan.
Yeah.
How many goals did you score from midfield, by the way?
Strangely, I scored 11. I think Duncan ended up scoring 17 or 15, one of the two. I know I was 6-7 goals behind.
So that's quite a lot of goals for a midfielder.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of your memories with the grounds. Let's start off with Athlone Stadium. Talk to us about some of the memories that, you know, obviously there was some derbies with Glendine and Santos, and then Santos and Batswood. How was those rivalries at Athlone?
No, it was fantastic. First, even before you start as one of the players running onto the field, as a spectator there, it was always one of my dreams to play at the stadium. That was our Mecca, that was our Wembley. Mm. So for me to, I can remember my first game there was against Chelsea, and we won 2-1. I scored the first goal. Right, it was 1-1, I scored the first goal. And the next day, the newspaper said something like, Desmond is a very good player, but sometimes he dies with the ball. I will never, ever forget that. Colin Kreywagen, he was the reporter that wrote that article. I will never, ever forget that.
Well, I'm sure someone from the family would have kept that as well.
my father loves all those clippings and everything. Yeah, it was fantastic. Playing at Athlone Stadium, the derbies. I don't know if you remember there was a tournament also, they call it the Pro-Am Benson and Hedges tournament. Mm. I think the four top teams of the Western Province, and then your pro teams. I think it was six top teams and then your two pro teams.
Mm.
So that in itself is normally on a Monday and a Wednesday and a Friday. That in itself was fantastic. Mm. Getting to play against the top players, and there's also where the scouting started. The derbies was something special. Something special. The derby with Santos, then the derby with Glendine, and then Batswood came along. Yes, so those were fantastic, fantastic games. Your whole week you prepare yourself for that. You look forward when the fixtures comes out. You first see when you're playing your derby games and things like that. Yeah, that was fantastic. And then if you go to Durban, you look at Curry's Fountain. What a place to play. What a place to play. The people in Cape Town, they will never realize how the Durbanites love this soccer.
The Cape Townians as well.
Yeah, they love this. When you come to the stadium, you know, we were so fortunate in our buses, in our taxis, when you come to the stadium, the stadium will actually be packed.
Yeah.
And then you will think that most of the supporters are maybe for Tonga or for Berea. No. It was, I'm not going to say it's 50-50. Mm. That's pushing it. I would say it's 40-60 or even 70-30. But we had our own supporters and everything.
Yeah.
And you could sense the admiration that the Durbanites have for Cape Town teams. Because we played, if I'm a little bit arrogant, I think we played good football. And we were never, ever restricted. We had a way of doing things. But because also we had experienced players. And those double headers, hey, you will know, yeah, that's something to write home about.
Yeah, look, there's no arrogance about that. I must admit, like I was telling you off air, I was one of those youngsters sitting at Curry's Fountain watching you guys, and you guys were very, very good players. You know, you guys were our heroes. So, yeah, but let's talk about heroes. As a youngster going to Athlone Stadium, who were your heroes when you growing up watching, you know, when it was Cape Town Spurs, Glendine, whoever? Who were your heroes that you were watching?
Okay, if I look at way back when I was very small, my father always used to take us with Duncan, Nigel and the other brothers to the field. That time it started out with, I don't know if you know, Don Richards. He was the manager of Cape Town Spurs. Mm. They had a phenomenal team. They had, Booby was part of the team. Donnie King, I was a big Donnie King fan. George Van Niekerk, they all played with Duncan. As I said, I never had the opportunity to play with them because they were far older than me. Yeah. But those are the guys that we followed. Those are the guys that we aspire to become one day. And then the next generation of the Cape Town Spurs click was when Keith America, he was one of the best. Mm. Keith America, Calvin, I can always remember 8, 9, 10 and 11.
Yeah.
Carter Suleiman was number 11. Sally Adams was number 10. Keith was number 9. Calvin was number 7, so it
that was a brilliant forward line.
Yeah, that was fantastic. We followed them and everything, and I think that's where Duncan also, because we always went to the soccer, and then Duncan joined Glendine Amateur, and then from there Glendine became a professional team. So it was, if I say meant to be, I can say meant to be because that's how I grew up.
Mm.
I grew up soccer, and I never knew the color of our walls in our rooms because we had pictures of soccer players right over the place and everything. My parents never had problems painting our rooms and things like that.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the other grounds besides Curry's Fountain. Can you remember any, for example, you played Tongaat Crusaders at Watson Park?
Watson Park, yes, with the grass and with the fence close to the field. No, it was
close to the freeway.
Yes, down the freeway.
And the support, of course, was phenomenal. And let's talk about 3B Grounds in Chatsworth.
Yes, 3B Grounds in Chatsworth. Later on, it became Chatsworth Stadium.
Yeah.
I think we played one final there also against, I think, against Tongaat. We actually played a final there, and we won 2-1 there also. So it was fantastic. But for me, the Curry's Fountain and the Athlone Stadium, second to none.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that was
the makers.
That was the best, yeah.
Now, post 91, obviously 91 with Unity, post 91, Santos was one of the teams that, I think they picked a few teams from the FPL that joined the NSL, and Santos obviously because of their being so dominant in the FPL, and then you moved across with them to the NSL. Yeah. How many years did you stay with them in the NSL?
I stayed with them until 94. I stayed with them until 94,
And some of the highlights with them in that era?
It was fantastic. I can remember one game at, I paused it the other day at George Gough Stadium. We played Kaizer Chiefs. That time it was heavy fighting between the Zulus and the Khoisas. Mm. And being a Zulu stronghold, we played there. Kaizer Chiefs just rock up with the taxis, dressed already.
Yeah.
And we standing there waiting for them and things like that. I think we lost that game 1-0. Skara Tintwa still scored a cracker that day. We lost 1-0, yes. Yes, that was, that was fantastic. Because remember, those were the guys that you watch on TV.
Yeah.
And suddenly you start playing with them. Mm. And we always thought, there was one game when we played Kaizer Chiefs again at home. the estimate there was between 15,000 and 20,000 people
at the Athlone Stadium.
Wow. It was fantastic. We lost the game 3-1. We lost the game, but the experience, oh, second to none, second to none. Those are things that you will carry with you for the rest of your life.
No, absolutely. Desmond, was there a huge gap between the, well, they came from the NPSL, which was then became the NSL. And from the FPL with you guys going, was there a huge gap between those teams like the Chiefs, the Pirates, and you guys from the FPL?
I wouldn't say there was a huge gap. It's just that I think if you look at in that era, was that they played more competitively than what we played competitively. Mm. They were more full time. We were mostly teachers.
Yeah. Yeah,
we worked.
Although you were so-called pros in the
exactly, FPL. we worked. Our trainings, Duncan and I being teachers, we used to be first on training because we finished almost 2-3 o'clock. Mm. We put up the lights and things like that. So that's how we got into playing this professional era and things like that. But that never ever bothered us. We were just honored. Of the unity to be part and parcel of this whole new democracy that's going to take place.
But it's just a pity it came a bit late for many of the FPL stars.
Exactly. It came very late for certain people. Yeah. We were, the other day, we were just at my mother's 80th birthday. We were sitting there at Duncan because the party was there and we were looking at some of the trophies and then you reminisce of, I can remember he was second highest goal scorer, then he was third highest goal scorer. And if he was just a little bit younger, this guy, not only him, there's other players
many
also.
Many other players.
There's many other players in the same boat and everything.
And of course he played for South Africa, you know.
And that was
could have been many more caps as well.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. That's a sad part about, but will we change it? We won't change it for one bit. We will sacrifice once again because today the people don't realize the sacrifice that we went through to achieve what we have now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Post Santos, which team did you still remain in the pro ranks? Which team did you join then after Santos?
When I left Santos, I actually went on loan for 10 games to Batswood. It was strange that I went to Batswood. Batswood was in the lower league. I think that time it was still the first division. We were in the lower league. They were fighting relegation. And I wanted to be a regular, and unfortunately, there's a lot of youngsters coming through. You mentioned them earlier, Kamau Sahid came through, Rasad Davidson came through. So a lot of them came through, and there was a lot of competition. And at my age, I wanted to play regular. I think I had 2 knee operations. I wasn't the same. I must be honest, I wasn't the same player as I used to be. So I dropped down a division. I played for them for 10 games. We survived relegation. We still played one Bob Save game, I can remember, at Bidvest Stadium against the London Pirates. It was an and we lost 1-0.
And then post Batswood?
Post Batswood, I joined Milano. That's also where I played for them for 2 years. I later became the coach. 1995, I joined them. The latter part of 1995, I joined them. We won the Awiza National Championship with the late Saeed Apples as the coach. What a guy. What a guy. That's also one of the coaches that I actually learned a lot from. And him, Duncan, Bobby Solomons, those are the guys that actually sculpted me as the coach that I am today. And yeah. And then I played with him for 2 years. We won promotion from the first, from our regional third division right up to first division. We won promotion. So that was a very successful team.
Fantastic. If I had to just test your memory now a little bit, any specific goals that stand out for you? You know, there must be some cracker from the left or something that stands out for you, Des, but let's test your memory.
Oh, that's heavy. If I must select a sentimental goal, then I would say is the 1988 when we won the treble.
88.
Yeah, we beat Tonga Crusaders. It was a replay. We beat Tonga Crusaders 5-2. I scored 2 of the goals. Duncan scored the other 2.
Yeah.
And one of the goals I scored, I can still remember. Actually, both goals was near post runs. Now, if you're near post runs, I'm a left.
Yeah.
I'm a left winger running to the right. So the timing, the technique, everything had to be there.
Has to be perfect.
Yes. So if you talk about the technical goal, then I can look back at those 2 goals that we scored there. And that actually killed the game against Tonga and everything.
Any crackers from out of the box?
I think there was one that we played in the Pro-Am. We played against Liverpool Portland. They were one of the top amateur Western Province teams and everything. I think it was either the semi-final or the final. And they had a very good goalkeeper, Mark Brown, and hit a cracker from the left inside. They call it that time the daisy cutter. And I can still remember.
Brilliant. When did you decide to finally hang up your boots? Before you, obviously, we'll talk about your coaching career. When did you decide, okay, now it's time now for me to hang up my boots?
Strangely, I was for some, I think 4 or 5 years, I was the, a player assistant coach or a player coach. So that was always, was never in the back of mind to hang up your boots, because you never ever want regrets, but you also don't want to prolong, like they said, to prolong the agony. So yeah, when I joined Strandfontein, they actually gave me the opportunity to become a coach. That's a local team where we moved to, from where I was born, Heidelberg. So we moved to Strandfontein, and after my professional career, I joined Strandfontein, and they gave me the platform, yeah, to become a coach.
So at what age was it that you finally decided, I'm hanging up my boots?
30 years old.
30? That's pretty young,
but like I said, I still played a little bit there and there. I would always choose the games I would play and things like that. Yeah, so I think the coaching bug bit me very early. But because I was young, I always played with older players, I learned very quickly and things like that. So I always wanted to be a coach and things like that.
Okay, the comment has come. I don't know if you can remember this. It says, we're talking about the goals. What about the Idris Burton goal? Wow, so I'm not sure which goal this gentleman is talking about. Maybe you can tell us which game. Maybe Desmond can remember that one there. Ooh. So Strandfontein was your first team that you coached.
That's
and
the first.
What division were they playing at the time?
They were basically a local, like I said earlier, they were a local, there was a league called the Super League, the Toyota Super League. So that was all the top teams from the different districts. So I was the coach there. And we actually won promotions right up until the old Vodacom is now the second division. So you had your NSL, then you had your first division, then you had your second division. So we won promotion 2 years in a row to get to a semi-professional league and everything. It was quite the achievement. 90% homegrown, Strandfontein players. So it was a fantastic platform for me to start my coaching career.
Now, talking about the coaching career, obviously when we watch the matches on TV and stuff, we see the coaches have to go for certain certificates and things like that. Was it the same with you? Did you have to go for a certain amount of courses before you could get into a coaching role? Or no, was it, you know, you were given the opportunity, you know, because of your playing career, because of your... But we'll continue with that after the break. Let's just take an ad break and we'll come back.
This is Inside Sports.
Just gone 8:42. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. We're chatting to Desmond Crowe, the former Santos midfielder. Now, Desmond, just before the break, we're talking about, we started with your coaching career. Let's talk about those coaching courses now. Like I was saying, did you have to go through a certain amount of courses before you started your coaching, or were you just given the opportunity because you had a good playing career and, you know, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think at first, because of my professional record, I think I was given the job and so forth. And as time went on, you realize as educator, as educated person, you realize you can't just depend on your playing career to become a coach, because there are youngsters that look up to you. There are youngsters that also want to progress and want to learn. And if you're not educated in that line, then you're actually doing a disadvantage to yourself and, but specifically to the youngsters. That's where Safa came on board. And we had, I think, way back in 2004, we had the level one. That was 21 days. And then a year and a half later, 2 years later, we had the level two. And then that got converted into CAF A, CAF B, and so forth, licenses and everything. I'm fortunate to have a CAF B license. I had the opportunity to attend the pro license, but due to a teacher, it's 6 months. Mm. You must take off 10 days per month. It was a lot of sacrifice, and unfortunately, I wasn't not so fortunate.
And a lot of leave as well. You would have to sign.
Exactly.
So, for example, to coach in the PSL, you need to have that CAF A.
You have to have the CAF A license. Yeah.
Okay, and then the lowest is the CAF D, where you can, like, from junior football.
Exactly.
Okay, so you have CAF B now.
I have CAF B now.
All right.
Even at my age, I still want to stay.
So after Strandfontein, where did your coaching career take you to next?
After Strandfontein, I actually went back to Milano. Right there, we started the project. And they bought the old ABC. They called the Vodacom. They bought a Vodacom franchise there. I started there. But just before that, there was a guy, Mr. Samuel Colby. He was involved with Mr. Price. And then he had this dream of having the 16 high schools in Mitchell's Plain, playing them on a Saturday and having his own league under 19, getting top players from there, hopefully getting them to professional league and so forth. So he had this nice sponsor, this nice dream, this nice project. And then he approached me in 2004 to become his head coach. So I became the head coach of the 16 high schools. And the project started. And that project ran until 2 years. I think it's 2 years ago. So that project was more than, if you look at it, more than 15 years that project ran and so forth. And And then what happened is there became also, I was promoted also to the ABC team. And then I became the coach there. I think one season we went to the playoffs, we lost, and then I joined a new project at Milano where they bought a franchise, two youngsters, Nasif Brenner and Imran Davids, and they approached me to help them with the project. And it was close to home. They had this dream of becoming an NFD team, and a few years later, Milano became an NFD team.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so yeah. It's a long road.
And in this project for 15 years, anyone came through the system that is now playing, you know, came through your hands, that's now playing in the PSL or the NFD?
Yes, there are quite a few players. There are quite a few players. One of the players that I still think of that's a fantastic role model, and if there are youngsters listening to the program, I always say you don't have to have the most talent, but if you're a hard worker.
Hard work, yes.
You can achieve whatever you want to achieve. And this player wasn't the most talented player. Yeah. He was at our school, Cedar High, in Rocklands, Wayne Aronson. He just finished playing for Mamelodi Sundowns. Yes. He won the Champions League with him and everything. He started from our school. He was scouted by the great Kit America because that time Santos was PSL. And they always had these coaching projects whereby they go to the high schools. Yeah. And in that project, they also used to scout players. Yeah. And Wayne Aronson was one of the players they scouted.
Yeah.
And from there, Wayne went to go play for Santos. At the young age, I think of 18, 19, he joined the PSL team. He played, it's a nice career, him and Idris Burton as center backs and so forth. And from there, he joined Mamelodi Sundowns.
Wow.
Yeah, and he just finished this year. I think 8 years he was with them and everything. So if I must mention and pick on one player, that is one player. I will reiterate what I said earlier. He wasn't the most talented, but what a discipline and what a hardworking player he was and everything.
Well, Desmond, I mean, in any sport, in anything, I mean, you don't have to be the most talented.
Exactly.
It's 90% hard work. And if you can have the 10% of that, it's all about the hard work. Isn't that right?
Definitely. Yeah. And if I just look at, if I look at home, Duncan was a great example.
Yeah.
My brother Nigel, he went to go study further. If he didn't have to go study further, then there wouldn't have been that path for us.
Yeah.
So there were always small stones that helped us to reach. My father, hardworking, went up country to go. He worked in Impangeni, your hometown, next to your hometown, and everything. My mother being the teacher. So there was always that guidance for us. So as I'm not saying it was a road for us not to go wrong. There was always challenges. Wherever you are, there were always challenges and so forth. But because I had those role models in my life, it makes life very, very, very easy for me. Easy in a sense that I knew the path that I wanted to take. Of course, like I said earlier, there were always challenges.
Yeah.
But Nigel and Duncan and my parents being older than me and Barry being older than me, my youngest brother, Hilton, and I, we always had those people to look up to.
Mm.
It's not like they finished school standard 8 or standard 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I must also go that route.
Absolutely.
No, no. I actually had fantastic role models, and I can just thank the Almighty that those people people in my life.
No, brilliant. Post Milano, I see you had a stint with Marty's as well. Was the post Milano, was it Marty straight after that?
In 2017, I was contacted by the club manager at Marty's, Elroy Smith, to come for interview with the great Reggie Janches. Was that time also the coach at Marty's. And they wanted to start this project. They had this dream because rugby was doing so well at the university. They had this vision that soccer can be on that par because Stellenbosch is a very strong soccer community. And they had the dream. They approached me. I went for the interview. I got the job. And then we started this project. I can still remember if I have a triangle. At the bottom part of the triangle, the base are always the strongest part of the angle. But if I look at the type of players Marty's had, you must turn the triangle around.
Yes, so, we're just going to pause there to take an ad break and we'll continue after this.
This is Inside Sports.
Just gone 8:52. Welcome back to Inside Sport. We're chatting to Desmond Crowey now. Desmond, post Milano, we said... you joined Marty's, and you're still with Marty's now.
That's correct.
So I want to ask you, and I still also believe you're a technical director for
Cape Town All Stars.
Cape Town All Stars. You're the coach of Marty's. You're an educator.
That's correct.
How do you do all of that? How do you do that, Desmond? Because you still have to travel to Stellenbosch back and forth. Is it just because for the love?
That's correct. Yeah, like I told you earlier in the break, if you love something, you don't feel the aches and the pains. The traveling is long. It's between 40 to 45 minutes from where I stay to Stellenbosch University. But I don't feel it anymore because I love the project so much. That's my ultimate. That's my baby.
Yeah.
I started, like I said earlier, I started there 2017 with the bonds of, I'm not going to say no hopers. That's a very, very, very strong word to use it, but not the quality that I expected. But through working with the process, putting few systems in place, currently now I think we have a very strong squad. We just got promoted from the B section in the university football to the A section. So this year, 2021, we will be playing in the A section. And if we end in the top 8 there, we will be part of the Varsity Cup. And that is the ultimate goal of the university. Then you're in par with your rugby, you're par with your hockey and so forth.
And you'll also get the coverage on TV as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll see you in that Varsity Cup and we'll say, well, we spoke to that coach there.
Inshallah.
Des, if you had to say, you know, you have coaches, what is your strength as a coach? You know, we hear coaches being good man managers, the technical aspects. But Desmond Crowey, what is your strength as a coach? You just said now you took this, not no hopers of the Varsity Marty's team. You got them into that A section now. Mm. Your next goal is to get into the top 8 because your next goal would be Varsity Cup. So to get them into that A section, for instance, what did you have to do? What is your strengths that got them to there?
I think, like I said earlier, unfortunately, I must say it again, being from the family that I am, we always used to encourage one another. We always want to see the best in one another because we all have our different strengths in the family, and that stems from our parents. Likewise, I took those characters, those principles, I take it into my teaching and I take it into my coaching. I want to see the best in the individual. It don't have to be the best player. For me, the person is more important than the player. Mm. The player you can create, but the person is always a challenge. That's why at Stellenbosch, we always talk about student athletes. The student first, because he needs to get his degree. Mm. That's the ultimate reason he's there.
Yeah.
The athlete, a secondary. So for me, and it's easier coaching those educated students because they also have this dream. Yes, they want to their degree and they also want to play at the highest level at university. So it actually becomes easier. And so if you ask me once again, what's my strength? I think working with the individual, trying to get to the holistic development in the individual. I think that is one of my strengths, if I must say it myself.
No, brilliant, man. Desmond Crowey, obviously, we'd love to see you, and I'm sure we'll see you in the next year or so in that Varsity Cup. Just before we go, looking back at your career, you said you retired at a very young age, which is actually quite sad, obviously, because of your injuries, etc. But Are there any regrets if you look back at your career now? If you look back, say, ah, you know, I wish I did this or that. Any regrets? Or you were happy with the career you had?
I am happy with the career. I don't think a lot of people will be so fortunate like I am with the quality of players and characters and the people I play with. People I can still call today my friends, my colleagues. We still reminisce if we meet one another wherever about the good old days. So for me, no regrets in that regard. I'm very, very fortunate that I had the opportunity. Believe me, there were better players than me that never ever had the opportunity I had. So for that, I thank the Almighty that He gave me those great opportunities, those great memories that I can live with. And I can tell it one day, hopefully I get grandchildren. Luckily now I got two lovely dogs. I can share it one day with them and things like that.
Desmond Crowe, it's been absolutely fantastic. Thanks for chatting to us tonight on Inside Sport, and all the best to you in your coaching career and your teaching career, of course. Back home, I hope you enjoyed another edition of Inside Sport. This is the last show for the year, by the way. We're just taking a short break, and we'll be back next year with more interesting interviews in the new year. From me, Firoz Sheikh, have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.